And we are back. Welcome back, everybody, to Thanks for the Rewind podcast, where we want you to just check.
Check what, baby?
I have no idea. Okay, one more time.
We could just say welcome back.
Welcome back to Thanks for the Rewind podcast. This is Freddie Correa. Last time. Welcome back to TFTR, which stands for
Thanks for the Rewind
Podcast. Oh, show, we're due alive.
Whoa.
Last time.
Oh my gosh. We're going to leave all this in.
Thank you, everybody. For welcome. What? For welcome? I can't even talk. You start it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Thanks for the Rewind with Freddie and Lizzie Correa. Another week, another episode, another fun chat. We can just start by our last conversation before starting the podcast. And that was my pet peeve about when friends announce your sobriety to other people.
Yeah, that's weird. What for?
I have a thing about that.
I don't like it.
I feel like it's almost intrusive.
It is. Definitely intrusive, for sure. It's like, because what is the people's reaction right away?
Very judgmental.
Judgmental right away.
It's never positive. It's always a shock. You know, the eyes looking you up and down, or already just trying to ask you so many questions. You could just see their eyes going. Yeah. And I don't want to just talk to anybody about this.
I didn't have a coaster.
Drink. I don't like how people announce that, especially someone who doesn't know you.
Yeah.
And they can already make their assumptions about your life, because usually when people give up drinking, it's usually because of no judgment. They had a really bad spiral where they lost everything. I'll be sensitive because maybe some people had to get to that point.
Yeah.
Right? For them to change. And that can come with even health. Something happened recently where someone announced that I was sober.
Yeah.
And immediately I could read off the woman's face that she did not like it, because she already had known me for a little bit. And this was at the bar. Then somebody else announced that I was sober. And this other person, the girl I was talking to, said, "Aw, you don't drink?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aw? Because already there, she felt like we cannot maybe take our relationship to some level. Or
she looked at you like you have a handicap.
Yeah. She's like, "Aw, you don't drink?"
Like, "Aw." I hate it when I get a "Aw." I'm not a fan of the "aw."
Yeah. How about, that's great.
Yeah.
When you say "aw," it means that I don't like that I'm giving up alcohol. That it's really like an annoyance almost.
Yeah. And you could tell a lot of the person of where their view is on that. Because they're like, I always been around other people that are sober. Because our friends, we've always had a variety of friends. Friends that drink, friends that don't, friends that are just potheads, you know. Friends that just like the nose sugar.
The
nose candy. We've had all kinds of friends. But the ones that have been sober, whenever somebody says something like that, I'm always like, "Oh, cool." You know, when I was drinking, if we're all taking shots, somebody didn't take a shot, I would make them feel welcome. "You want soda? I get you soda. Let's do a shot of soda." I would do shots with friends that are sober, you know?
Yeah. I almost wanted to tell the person that said it, like, what the heck are you thinking?
Why would
telling
you say
them that?
Yeah.
That's almost like telling them my dirty laundry, like a secret that I almost told you. And then this person can say, "Well, why aren't you proud to tell people you posted on social media?"
Why but would you start with that, though?
That's right, like there's so many layers to me other than I don't drink. And out of all places, it's a bar.
Yeah,
people are connecting on drinking.
Yeah.
Know your location. If we're at a conference where everyone's trying to get sober and we're sharing our stories, yes, tell everyone that I'm sober.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh.
But here it's like you're trying to single me out and trying to like not... you're causing division is what I... And it's not crossing bringing the people...
Line. You're causing division?
Yeah, causing almost, because it's not bringing two people together. You know that the person that I'm talking to drinks.
It is divisive, for
I'm
sure.
I'm not drinking, so how is that going to bring any sort of next conversation to us to connect?
When you meet someone, one of the first things you want to do is, when you're introducing friends or mutual people, you always want to highlight them and show them off the best, you know. I don't see how you're sober to somebody that's about to take a shot or a drink.
Exactly.
Why would you start with that? That's like telling somebody that's about to go, like somebody that's wearing a Biden shirt in support of Joe Biden, and the first thing they say about you is, "Oh, he voted for Trump."
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? Why would you start with that?
Exactly, because you know that's going to cause something so sensitive and something so like that caused his division.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I just looked at the person that said it. I'm like, what was your intention saying that?
Yeah.
So, I'm just sharing this story because a lot of people have maybe someone in their life that maybe doesn't drink. And just be sensitive to that person and don't share it. Let them be the one to lead it. Yeah. And if they share it and start a conversation with, hey, I'm sober... then okay, go ahead. And even still, I wouldn't be that person to announce it. I would first lead if the person says it first and I'm in that conversation.
Never needs to come up.
But it's never going to come from me first. Like, oh, that person is sober when I'm introducing
them. Yeah, it never needs to come up. It's weird. It's like people, like, you got to... play the devil's advocate, right? Like, there is some people that love to talk about them being sober. Like, to me, it's just like, whatever. It's great. It comes up in conversation, but I've never posted, oh, I'm so-and-so sober. We've done it a few times, like, through the podcast. We've talked about it. But I'm not out there like, hey, everybody, I'm sober. There's people like that. So, to play devil's advocate, you never know. The person that did it, sometimes you think, like, where was their heart at? It could be just ignorance. You know, they just thought it would be something like, in their mind, they thought that could be a way to stir the conversation somehow.
Now, if they were doing it because maybe they were taking shots, right? And then they were trying to save me to say, oh, hey, Lizzie doesn't take a shot. She's sober. I still have some thoughts on that, whether they should still share it to the world if she's sober or not.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Should they still announce it?
My thoughts is that, I mean, I wouldn't announce it. But should they? Here's the thing. I cannot control what anybody's going to do. All I can control is me, how I could react to it. So I should they? I can't say that. I could just say I wouldn't.
Me too. I wouldn't have done that. So
yeah, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. Like I said, in parties, I've always... try to make him feel more welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But no, if I would have just like, oh, here's some shots and that's it. Why? There's no reason to say it.
Well, people, when they're on the journey of becoming sober, it's a challenge, mm-hmm. right? Because either they're doing it by themselves or they have a partner that's supporting them, but their friends are not supporting them.
Yeah.
In our world, luckily, we both gave it up. We were both supporting each other. Yeah. So it was very helpful.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that Ben Affleck struggles with alcohol and is like...
He's struggling?
He
struggles?
I think currently there's rumors that he is struggling. In the past, he struggled when he was dating Jennifer Garner.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Garner, he dated her for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
They had three kids together.
So when... Ben Affleck was with Jennifer Garner. He had a drinking problem.
He had a drinking problem because he felt trapped in the relationship. He says that he felt like he couldn't leave the relationship. He had kids, so his only way to escape was drinking.
Ah.
So fast forward now, he's not with Jennifer Garner now. He's with the lovely Jennifer Lopez.
Another Jennifer.
But there's rumors. Yes, another Jennifer. There is rumors that there is troubles, that there is trouble in paradise between Ben Affleck and J-Lo, and it's maybe due to him drinking possibly again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's clips being seen of them hanging out in the public eye, and you're wondering, is he on something?
Let me ask you this, though. So when he's talked about that, where was this? In an interview, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So he actually got sober, or he started like cutting back?
So when he was dating or married to Jennifer Garner, that's when he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And then he, from there, went to rehab.
Oh, so he got sober.
Mm-hmm. So from what I understood, he was sober when he met back with J-Lo and has been sober.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, there is rumors that he has, you know, fallen off the wagon. That he's broken his sobriety and he's drinking again.
Damn.
Which concerns J-Lo because she knows where he's come from, the you know, having trouble with alcohol. When I say trouble with alcohol, people that have trouble with alcohol drink excessively and maybe become a different person, and she's seen that side of him. So now that he's sober, I would be scared too as a wife that my husband is going to be drinking excessively and going down the wrong path. So I want to show you a clip. And if you can get it ready for me, baby, it's the first one is Ben Affleck says he feels trapped in the marriage. And that was when he was with Jennifer Garner.
Damn, how does Jennifer Garner feel about that?
That's what people are saying. Like, how dare he say that about her during that time? Because it makes her seem like she was so bad to be with.
Yeah, this is from 2 years ago. And okay.
And it was with Howard Stern.
Is this a good spot right here?
Yeah.
All right. I'm playing.
I started drinking alcohol because I was trapped. You know, I was like, I can't leave because of my kids, but I'm not happy. What do I do?
He says he drowned his sorrows in booze.
And what I did was like, you know, drink a bottle of scotch and fall asleep on the couch, which turned out not to be the solution.
Today, the blowback is intense.
I remember falling asleep on the couch drinking. And sometimes waking up to a beer like spilled on my belly. Like, oh, did I piss myself?
Yeah. That's his nights apparently too.
Yeah. Just
sleeping until you're drunk with the bottle of the liquor.
Uh-huh.
And he had no limits.
Yeah.
And he had to give it up because it was going bad. So that's where he was at during the relationship. So this just shows of, unfortunately, where if he's not being careful, where his path can lead because of how he has been wired in the past.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have done things, mistakes that, you know, that we're not proud of, and we know what we're capable of, and not just ourselves, people too. That you don't have to commit an action to know that once you do a mistake, it has consequences. So he should know also that he has some weaknesses. Like, he knows that alcohol is a weakness of his. So, people now are worried that now that he's with J-Lo, that he's unhappy again. He's unsatisfied. Yeah. He's unfulfilled. That all he is J-Lo's pet.
Yeah.
And so, there's just clips that they're putting together of recent times that they're just seen in public. And he looks pissed off. He looks like he doesn't want to be there. He's seen slamming the door one time on J-Lo.
He would have been so much better as Superman. He has a Superman face. That's not a bat face. That's a Superman. Look at that chin.
So you think he should have played Superman instead of Batman?
For sure. Hell yeah, he should have been Superman.
That film of when he played Batman, it didn't do well.
Huh? No, none of them.
What do you mean none of them?
Well, wasn't there like Batman versus Superman, and then he did another appearance on the Justice League.
Oh, like every time that he's played Batman, it hasn't been good.
Yeah, not really.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that every person that's played Batman, all the movies suck.
No, hell no. Christian Bale,
Michael Keaton. That's the best one. Yeah, but then after, I think they've all sucked. You remember Robert Pattinson also played Batman?
Yeah, I think that was a good movie, though. Hey. It was like, I want to watch it again. Here's why. Because I was laughing at it, so like I lowered the standard. The bar was so low that I liked it. I need to start doing that more.
Okay. Well,
expect less, you won't be disappointed.
If that's how you grade.
Well, it was like that person that expect less from people. When they do stuff like that, that bug us, like pet peeves. I got a lot of pet peeves. You know, it's because it's literally petty shit. It really is petty. So it's like, expect less. We're learning stuff here, people.
Yeah.
Set your bar low.
So this video, if we're wondering what we're watching here, This is J-Lo promoting a movie.
Oh, there's J-Lo. I was looking at this J-Lo.
Yeah, J-Lo and Ben Affleck there, and you can see her.
Yeah, that stare.
Well, she's sniffing and almost, I think she does taste his drink, because really? She grabs it and tastes it or sniffs it to, people are assuming to think that to ensure it didn't have alcohol in it.
Let's see.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez at the Shotgun wedding party.
Yeah, he's like, I promise it doesn't have alcohol in it.
Yeah, look at him.
And look at her face. She's like, better not have alcohol in it.
Yeah.
She has like a serious face.
Damn. You know what Ben probably is? Maybe he's one of those people that when, you know how we have buddies, friends that when you say you can't handle your liquor, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they can't really behave in public. Because look at that face. That face looks like.
Yeah.
I need a fat burger.
You know what
bacon.
Oh, yummy. Don't get me started.
You know, like he has David Hasselhoff face right now. Remember when David Hasselhoff got caught? One of the first videos that went viral, his daughter recorded him on the floor eating a cheeseburger off of a to-go box and just taking bites and the shit just falling to the ground.
No.
Oh, it was amazing. He's shirtless. And he's just there eating super drunk. That's David Hasselhoff face.
What face right there do you think he's, or what is he thinking right there? Doesn't it look like he has a guilty face?
He's like, come on. It's just cider, right? It's just cider. Aha. Uh-huh. He thinks he's slick because the first five drinks were not cider.
So she probably noticed that he was acting a little different.
Yeah.
And said, okay, let me taste that drink right there. Let's see if it has alcohol.
Shout out to Sloan.
Yeah, he always has the receipts.
Yeah, we love Sloan.
So this is recent. So people are wondering, hey, did he break his sobriety because he's not supposed to be drinking?
Yeah.
So maybe they're thinking, is he, number one, back to drinking? Or secondly, is he on other substances?
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
That's another fear or concern that people
have.
This next clip of them at the Grammys makes you wonder if he is on something, because if you think he was maybe on something here, this frame, the shot that they got on him makes him like makes it seem so much clearer that like, come on, something is definitely going on.
This is from a year ago, Seth.
During the epic Back to Motown medley, Jen was up on her feet dancing while Ben stood next to her stone face. And when Grammy host Trevor Noah did a skit talking to his mom on the phone while sitting next to the couple at their table, Jen appeared to give Ben a playful nudge when she realized they were on camera.
Okay, watch this part.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Just watch them.
All right. No, mom. It wasn't the actual devil.
The couple did
she didn't know that they were being recorded.
And Jen didn't
perform. Devil. Real quick.
I gotta go. All right.
She's like, stop it.
No, mom. It wasn't.
And then he's like, come on.
I gotta go. All right. No, mom. It wasn't the actual.
It almost seemed like he was like, come on, let's go to the bank and fuck real quick. No?
And then she's like, oh, come on, sweetie.
Stop.
Well, whatever she's was saying, it gives me the impression that she was trying to tell him, stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing, yeah.
And behave differently.
Yeah.
From whatever, I don't know.
Yeah. She was correcting an action is what's happening.
Yeah.
She's talking to a toddler right now. That's what he seemed like on the last video. Like a kid that just got in trouble by mom. Look at the face right now. He's kind of like saying, come on, please. Mm.
Yeah, I gotta go. All right. No, mom.
It's funny that he's saying mom. The couple. Because she's being kind of scolding him like a mom. Yeah. He's like, no, mom. No.
Yeah, that's true.
I just realized that.
Damn.
So just the body language there, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't read the lips, it seems like she's correcting him just from the body movement, right? He's
definitely being corrected. Hell yeah. How long have they been dating again? Bennifer part two. They both had different people they've been with after they were with each other. I think she was with him. Eventually P. Diddy, some dancer she married.
Uh-huh. They got married in July 16, 2022.
Whoa, they're married? I thought they're dating. They were dating.
They got married.
Whoa.
Yeah, they had a nice... So first they tied the knot in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that clip. She was so excited in a white dress. She's like, we're going to do it. We're going to get married.
Yeah.
And then they had like a real wedding.
Yeah.
With celebrities and the whole shebang. So the last clip that I want to show is another part of Ben Affleck's attitude of him being like over the relationship. So they're saying from this clip that he just wants to leave possibly J-Lo. And that she was really controlling the first time that they were together.
Mm-hmm.
When they were going to get married in the prenup, she said that if you ever cheated on me, that she was going to collect half of all his earnings at that time. And that scared him, supposedly. So.
Whoa. This was the whatever proposal she had. Like, I would have to keep this. They were going to
get the prenup.
So they were going to get married before?
Yeah, like maybe, baby, we're, hello.
I thought they were just dating, man.
Baby, hold the phone again. Hold the phone.
I didn't know they almost got married.
Okay, so yes, they almost got married, but they called it off. Mm. They broke up.
And it was because she had all these requests requirements?
Rumor has it, allegedly, one of the reasons why he broke it off was that she was very controlling.
Damn.
Wanted every aspect of his life, like she wanted a Latina. Voice in it.
Latina.
And so part of the prenup was that if he cheated, that he would have to give her everything. Well, not everything, but half, I think, of which I think is normal.
Is this legit? Like,
this is from Sloan.
Oh, okay. I mean, Sloan knows what's up. He checks receipts.
Yeah.
So yeah. But this is not something. What I'm trying to say is, like, did this come from
him
like saying, like, what I mean, he's very blunt apparently talking about Jennifer Garner, saying the shit he said about the relationship there. Just wondering,
yeah,
did it come from the horse's mouth?
All I know is that they have been caught by paparazzi doing normal things, and like he doesn't look happy,
just everyday things.
So, this is him, they're walking back to the car,
mm-hmm.
and
she's dressed like a CEO.
And he's a gentleman. He opens the car for her.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he closes the door, they're like, oh, why did he close it like that?
Oh, he's a gentleman because he opens the door?
Well, not...
What? What?
It is true.
Oh.
Are we going to have a debate about opening doors?
So if you don't open the door for your lady, you're not a gentleman?
No, they're the early stage of their relationship. They started... They're kind of dating right now.
I think... You should always open the door for a lady in a building. A vehicle, if you're driving and she's, you know, just in the passenger, is like, no. But if it's a special occasion, like, and like you're riding in the back of an SUV and stuff, you open the door for sure. But if you're the driver, I don't know. Here's the problem. And I've told you this before. I'm not trying to do a bit. But if you do it in the beginning, you better expect to do it for the rest of your life.
That's what I was about to counteract with you, because you're a married man.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together almost 19 years.
We talked about boundaries last week. Jonah Hill, baby.
But you're not going to recommend, let's say that you had a son and he's coming to you, Dad, I'm going to take this girl I like out to the movies.
Yeah.
You're going to tell him...
Open the door for...
In to the not movie open
theater,
the door?
In the movie theater?
For the car, though? You're not going to tell him to open the
if
car?
If he's driving...
He's more likely going
to
be driving.
I'm going to tell him to open the door for sure. I'm going to give him advice to open the door, but I'm going to give him my wisdom. This is what I would say. Son, if you're trying to get laid, open the door. If you open the door, okay? But here's the thing. If she's the one, you're going to have to open that door for the rest of your life. Because if the minute you stop opening that door, something happened. What, you don't love me no more? You got to set your boundaries from the beginning. Jonah Hill, the man himself.
How can he know the girl's the one just by the first date?
I knew.
You did not know.
How do you know?
That's different. You knew me for like since I was 7.
Yeah. And when have I ever opened the car door for you?
No.
Exactly, because you're the one.
What the fuck? Yeah, you have. You've opened the door for me.
I have. No, but what I'm saying is like, it's not, I wouldn't tell my son to do that. Like, I'd be like, do it. But the thing is that you got to set your foundation on the relationship in the beginning. The beginning of the relationship is going to be the most important of the rest of the relationship. And I say that as a joke. Obviously, I'm joking. You know, open the door for your lady. But if you do that, like the specifically the that one, like, okay, I'm not going to say names. We had a friend that would do that on everything. He would fucking run and make sure he would always be the first one opening the door. At one point, it becomes a hassle. I mean, when you're pissed off at each other, you know, those moments where it's like, I love you, but I don't like you right now. I don't know. Maybe I'm start opening the door for you.
To each their
own. We're going to edit this whole section and we're going to make it sound like I've always opened the door. I always open the door, just not the car door. But remember the Bronx Tale. That rule is very important. How do you know she's the one? I did it with you. When I opened the door for you one time, you reached over and unlocked the door for me. And from that day, I was like, she's the one. No more opening the door for her. I figured it out. She's the one. That's how you find out she's the one. When she reaches over to unlock the door for the driver's side, after she just got in the car, that means she loves you. From the movie Bronx Tale, Robert De Niro.
Okay, well, tell me by watching this if you think that he loves J-Lo.
Okay. Let's see.
Look, he opens the car door. She gets in.
Oh my gosh, the way. Oh shit! No!
Come on.
His hand. He's like, woo!
Like, take that, bitch. Come on. You can read so much into that.
Oh my god. Let me see that again. Holy shit. Cause he knows she's not gonna see that part. He had no idea somebody's filming him.
Yeah, and he didn't know it was somebody's filming.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Someone's mad.
Alright, if you're gonna do that, that's great. Yeah, you should open the door for her. That's funny. That was a great reaction. Hell yeah.
But trouble in paradise, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, just some.
Him? Something's wrong with, I mean, the relationship for sure. Like, I would feel because, I mean, why would you slam the car on your wife like that? Someone that you love, someone that you're supposed to respect. Of course, they could have argued, and not to say that relationships, that doesn't happen, but you piece all the little things together.
Wait a minute. I can't say there's trouble in paradise from that.
All the footage, from everything that I've shown you.
I don't know, from a little bit. Yeah, I mean.
Like, do you think he's falling back to drinking? Do you think that that's why maybe they're fighting? Maybe, and that's the reason why he's so frustrated, because he's just unhappy. Just because he's with J-Lo doesn't mean that he's happy. So people are wondering, is he okay? Does he need help?
No, well it seems like, I mean, it from what he said about when he was with Jennifer Garner, that he felt like he was kind of like trapped. So that's why he was drinking. I think he told himself that's why he was drinking. That was his excuse, but that's not why he was drinking. He was drinking because when you start getting your body used to the same thing over and over, your body's needing it, your body's requesting it. So that's why a lot of people compare drinking to a disease, because your body's requesting this and request. So taking him out of the Jennifer Garner relationship, that doesn't take the alcoholic out of him. You know, once an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Let's face it. people don't like to admit that they're alcoholics. People that party and drink, the people that look at you when you that you when you say that you're sober or somebody, and they look at you wrong and weird. You know why they're looking at you wrong and weird? Because they're looking internally. They don't realize that what they're seeing in you, oh man, he must have had a problem with it. It's them currently. Because somebody that doesn't have a problem doesn't look at you that way.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good thing to remember. To be more gracious if people may see you that way, because maybe they might see you as being happy and content with giving that up. And they're like, oh, I have an option to give that up and be happy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to.
Yeah. Because
it's their safety net. So it's understandable.
There was this one time, not too long ago too, where there was these two ladies that were super happy and they came down to the bar. You were working that night. And they congratulated me that they liked the set or whatever. And I said, happy birthday to them again. And I asked you if you could hook up the birthday girl with a shot. And she's like, let's take a shot. Let's all take a shot. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't drink. And she's like, you know what she said? Oh, do you have a problem? Yeah, people like you. No, it's like, no, it's not. I did have a problem, but I don't. Why would you ask me that? Like,
that was brave of you though to mention that, because you mentioned it in a bar.
Yeah,
and to a stranger.
And what I tell people now, and it's the truth, because I don't know, maybe I'll drink again, who knows. I tell people it's a break. I'm just on a break, you know. I don't have to give them a whole explanation and all this, like, you know. It's like when someone asked me today, are you a Christian? And I said, I don't know if that's the word for it, bro. But I believe in Jesus and I'm very spiritual. And that was it. I don't have to explain too much. That's already giving them a lot of info. I don't have to give them a lot of info.
Yeah, and you can lie to people. Like if people said, oh, take a shot, and you don't want to explain that you're not a drinker. Oh, I already had one too many. You know,
if you're comfortable, I don't feel comfortable.
I do it. I do that as a bartender. Now,
oh, okay.
When people say, oh, you want to take one with us? I'm like, oh, no, I already had a lot. You know,
that's smart, because see, that's a short term relationship.
Exactly.
You're not going to see these people.
Exactly. Again. Yeah.
It's like me on stage. I just say sometimes, oh, you know, drugs and this and that, like or drinking. It's like, I'm sober, you know, but it's a short term relationship. But yeah. Okay. But I do know people, babe, that they're people pleasers. We all are in a sense. We all have a little bit of it. We're all narcissists. We all a little bit of everything. But some people are people pleasers. I've seen it. And they pretend, you know, and they do that. I like to be upfront. I'll take a shot of soda with you. But let's do it. Because really, it's the camaraderie. I can't say that word. The camaraderie, that act of fellowship of doing a shot together. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah. And I think it's also us preparing ourselves mentally when we're going to these environments, like to the bar, to LA Comedy Club, to my workplace, because out of all those places, it's gonna pop up here and there.
Uh-huh.
So what you just said, those short-term relationships with those customers, being prepared of what I can say, or maybe if it's not a short-term, maybe it's a friend of my coworker, like a bartender, and they're hanging out and usually they want to do shots. So I already have something prepped for if someone asks me for shots, what do I say? You know, so I'm not scrambling. I'm like, oh, you know, like, and then I say that I don't drink to the wrong person. And if it comes out, it comes out. I've come to learn that if someone learns that I am and they look at me a certain way, I can't control that. Like, I can't please everyone.
Yeah.
Something that stuck with me, I shared with you a podcast with Jay Shetty and his wife about your gut health. And the podcast is not all about gut and how to eat the right foods. She comes up with the book. She came up with the book, and it talks about the six joys of having a fulfilled life, being happy. And she says that a long time it took her to realize that it was internal, that she was looking at the world with people's perspectives in mind, what they thought always. Yeah. And it would always cause anxiety that she wasn't good enough, or like when she entered a room, right? It's like, what did other people think?
How they viewed her. Yeah. Being confident in yourself. Finding confidence. And at the same time, I like what you said, because having empathy for people too. You know, like, I never, ever want to look down on somebody that's having a good time and drinking and they're acting a fool, because they're having a good time. They're not hurting nobody. You know, so I never talk down to them like, oh, he's super drunk or something. Being sober, the thoughts that come through my head, the dreams I have now, I dream again. I used to, like, I would dream him here and there, but I dream a lot now. My buddy that stopped drinking not too long ago, he said he feels like he was living through a foggy lens. And that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like that foggy lens is clear now. And one of the reasons I tell people I'm taking a break is because I do want to drink maybe wine again, or, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Like, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know. But the thing is that right now I'm good. I don't need it. And we've been around it so much that it's like, it's not that I'm like, I'm open to it. But then when it's there presented, it's like, I don't know if something got rewired in my brain, babe, that I'm like, I don't need it.
Can I ask you, why are you open to it again?
That's a good question. That's a very good question to explore. And when it comes down to it, I've asked myself that. I think all it is the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
The exhilaration. That's a really good question. Why? Why do I feel that? So maybe that's why when it presents itself, I'm like, I've been there, done that. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not missing out. That's why I say, it's like, there's something weird that happened with my brain after I read that book. The easy way to control alcohol. Let me make sure I got the name of that, because I want to plug that for sure.
Yeah, I like that book. And I haven't even finished the book. I've only listened to parts of it. And the things that you've shared, it's almost like that was enough. But I still want to give it time and read the book.
Yeah.
All of the reasons, even though I didn't read the book, of all the reasons that it shares with you that you give yourself of why you need drinking, and he tells you that every reason that you can even make up in your mind, he can teach you that no, you don't really need it. And so just by hearing that line of saying, hey, you don't need it, and every excuse I can convince you otherwise, it's almost like that voice kept repeating over. So any excuse I would make up in my mind, I would hear that, what he said, and I'm like, yeah, I don't need it. Even though I didn't know how or why I didn't need it because of the excuse I gave myself, just by hearing that, I'm like, no, that's not true. That's an excuse I gave myself of why I need alcohol.
One of the reasons I like reading books lately is that I'm learning a lot of new words. And one of the words I learned in this book, called The Easy Way to Control Alcohol by Alan Carr, was the word exhilaration. I've heard exhilaration my whole life, but I didn't really know what it meant. And it's that excitement you get. Remember how you asked me why right now? I think that's the why. When we drink, we're chasing that excitement, that rush, that feeling of like, ooh, that buzz. And ever since you get that first one, that's why they have the saying, you're chasing the dragon. People that do heroin the first time, they're chasing that first time. The exhilaration. That's really what you're chasing, is that exhilaration, that fun part, like, ah. And here's the thing. When you take shots with a group of friends, I thought that was exhilaration, drinking the alcohol. But no, you know what the exhilaration was? I'll go back and repeat it. I said it earlier. It was the act of doing it with my friends. That was the fun part. So you can still do it. It's a cool, it's a gesture us monkeys do as a way of bonding. We drink ethanol and that's how we bond. But it's just the act of doing it, you know?
But like, again, that book and videos that I've watched, it's like, number one, well, are really those your friends? First of all, this whole process has been eye-opening of who really has supported us along this journey, who has not made us feel isolated during this journey, because it could be very isolating.
Yeah.
You feel like you're the only one doing this, if you're crazy, if you should continue. Like, all these thoughts grow through your mind because no one else around you is doing it. No one.
It seems that way. Well, it might seem that way, but
there's other people, obviously, in the parts of the world. But in our circle.
In our circle, we were very lucky.
There was really nobody. Maybe we inspired
a
coworker of mine to maybe start opening and maybe consider drinking less.
No,
a
but
group
they
of
were
friends of us.
But they were supportive, though.
They were supportive. But what I meant is that nobody else was quitting with us.
Right. I just want to make sure that I say that part, too. But yeah. Yeah, no one else was like, it was just us, the ones that were quitting.
You just know, like, whether when you give something up, right, that it's just eye-opening, like, hey, I don't want to maybe associate time with you, because we realized that maybe all of our hangouts were just around drinking. So now that we gave that up, really, can we bond another way? Or is that only your way to bond with me? Because there's many ways to bond. We can go hiking. We can go to check out all these cool amusement places. We can go shopping. I mean, the list goes on, right? Of what else? How can you bond with a friend or a partner? It doesn't have to be centered around alcohol.
No, it's because we've been fed that. That's been fed and pushed on us.
We've been fed. Now, is it fun? I'm not going to sit and lie and tell you that it's not fun. But is that the only fun way to bond with somebody is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah.
So when people say, oh, well, I can't hang out with you anymore because you don't drink. You don't want to be my friend then.
They have a problem.
You just want to get drunk.
Yeah.
And you just wanted me to be a drinking friend.
Drinking buddies.
And that's what I'm trying to say is through this, who really was, who became just a drinking friend? And then that became, okay, well, I'm not drinking anymore, so then bye-bye. Like, bye-bye as far as hanging out. Like, we can respect each other and I love you from afar, but it's not like we're going to make each other grow during my process here, right? You have your own world. I have my own world. That's the beauty of life. We all have each other's paths of what we want to do, and this is just the path that we have decided to walk. And so it's just been eye-opening to me of that, so I'm just grateful of overall this journey, whatever journey that people take to make them a better person. And that's all that we're doing is we want to be just better versions of ourselves. And giving up alcohol made that not possible, because you could do that without alcohol, right? But for us, it just made it very easy to accomplish what we want to do.
And I want to make it clear too, you quit alcohol for me. You know, like, first you wanted to take a break, but you weren't like somebody that had like this crazy uncontrollable drinking. You were drinking, partying and everything, but I was the one with the drinking problem though. If I had a drinking problem, I had a drinking problem. Just like that song. People say I got a drinking problem.
I mean, I had some addiction or some relationship to it where I would say where I couldn't maybe challenge myself, or I never had a break where when I would go to the comedy club or I would have hangouts where I could say to myself, hey, when I go to the club tonight, I'm not gonna drink. Or hey, when I go to someone's house tonight with a hangout, I'm not gonna drink tonight. I'm gonna just take a break. I really just want to be present and just hang out and kind of just want to remember, or I just don't want to drink. Just want to give my body a break.
Yeah,
I would never do that. So that's why I say low-key did I have like some attachment to it, because again, I was feeding myself the
social,
the narrative that I needed it to be comfortable socially hanging out with people. That was my always reason to do it. I was never really the one to do it by myself, because then I'm like, well, I'm comfortable being by myself. Being by myself was fun, but it was just socially, it's like, ugh, you know. But we all cope with life's struggles that it gets thrown our way differently, and like you said, we're not going to judge people how they choose to live their life, how they choose to have fun. So don't judge us how we have fun.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ben Affleck, by the way.
I feel bad for him if he is unhappy and he's falling back to like unhappy or bad habits. Because I always want a relationship to succeed.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
God, I don't know how it is to be a celebrity, because can you just imagine just us where we're just on a bad day driving on the street arguing and
they see that.
And we get photographed or filmed, and
if
then
they would see the stuff we do.
And they're like, oh my God, look at Freddie. They're going to get a divorce. And
that's why I feel like, to me, it's kind of comical how he closed the door. Like, he probably closed it and his hand went up in here, and in his head, he probably said, bitch.
I know. That's what I got. I really feel like I got in an argument, and he was so mad.
What was that? Key and Peele? I said, bitch.
Yeah, I love that. I love that skit. It's like that was his way to get the last word. It's like he couldn't vocalize anything anymore because maybe she said, you better not say anything anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, fine then.
Let's wrap it up so we can fuck.
Whoa.
Whoa. We'll edit that from the podcast.
Well, thank you for watching this podcast. Thank you to all the new subscribers. We welcome you in the community. And please, if you have not checked out our library of videos, we have 35, not including this episode, videos that you can watch in our library. So don't get sad that this has ended. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's supported and also shared our episodes.
Yeah, thank you everybody that has been supporting us, sharing the episodes, all that good stuff. Leave us a comment.
Please.
Leave us a comment. Interact.
All right. Bye, guys.